Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It With The Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It With The Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's not say anything we're going to regret.
I regret it.
All of us will come to regret this.
I'm serious. You won't regret it. Get over here right now.
It's Monday Regrets with Chris and Amy on KMOX.
Michael Kelly in for Chris Ronjigi, who knows where that guy is. We're thinking about him, wishing him well. It is time for Monday Regrets. We want to hear from you. Don't forget, you can text us at 314-436-7900. You can also leave us a voice message on the Odyssey app, the little microphone icon. Michael Kelly here, my good buddy, he says he's a ball of regret. So do you want to kick us off I'll get to some texts?
Yeah, just on the weekend alone, you know, all right, here, I regret this. I went to the store and bought some chocolate-covered pretzels with salt on them for my Super Bowl party. Okay, and then I also picked up some chocolate-covered caramels for my Super Bowl party. Okay.
Yeah.
And I did this at like 10 a.m.
Yeah.
The chocolate covered pretzels never made it to the party.
Oh. Because they were too delicious?
Well, I thought, well, I'll have one. And then I'm like, now I'm a sloth and I'm sitting there watching this and feeling guilty the whole time, thinking, you know, I ruined the whole deal because I ate a box of these little chocolate covered. It's regretted.
Yeah.
I regret it.
No, I get it. So many of my regrets are either food or shopping related. As you all know, I had a very unfortunate ankle injury. I stepped on a gumball thing, fell on the ground, was on my back like an old lady, like I've fallen and I can't get up type thing, and I just hurt my ankle and I haven't been able to run. But here's the thing. For the past 2 years, I've trained pretty hard and I've been in good shape.
Yeah.
And I love to shop. And it's fun to shop when you're in shape. And I bought all these pants. Well, now that Amy hasn't run for 2 months, guess who's having a hard time fitting into her pants? I'm just telling you, it doesn't take much for trousers, which are button trousers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And especially, I think, because with women's...
High-waisted.
Yes,
because
the hip, the lower ones that sit lower, those are way more forgiving. But I love the old-timey high-waisted trousers. And let me tell you, Michael... here's what I do. You wear a longer sweater like the one I have on now.
Right.
So that way when you sit down, you can unbutton the trouser.
Oh, trust me.
And just keep it unbuttoned because sitting down, like I'm not saying the trousers don't fit. They fit. What I'm saying is sitting down is a completely different experience now where I'm like, why do I feel like this is cutting me in half?
Yeah.
So I've been wearing a lot. I regret buying pants that fit perfectly.
I think
you should always buy pants that are a little big.
I was going to say, you should be buying your clothes a little bit baggy. Now, I wear mine all baggy because, you know, I've been known to balloon up and balloon down.
Uh-huh.
And wardrobes are expensive.
Yeah, they are expensive.
So right now, I could be about 150 pounds under all this clothes. You wouldn't know it because it looks baggy.
Well,
you know what
that's
I mean? You can
pull the thing.
It off.
My clothes are baggy, but it's the waist.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, look at all this fabric. Nothing but fabric. But so anyway, as a public service announcement, buy some pants that are, you know.
I have another regret.
Mm-hmm.
This weekend on Saturday, I had nothing to do in the evening. Now, that sounds pathetic, right? As a single man, I had nothing to do. But I was actually looking forward to this. I had nobody to hang out with, nobody that I had to be responsible to.
Yep.
I didn't have to get up in their morning. So it's like 7 o'clock in the evening. I've had dinner and I thought, I'm just going to chill out, surf the internet, watch whatever grubby TV I want.
Mm-hmm.
So I turn on the TV and what do I see? But Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Okay.
Indiana Jones. And I think, how great is this? And I'm starting to watch Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark. But it's on like Paramount or not a streaming service, on a regular TV channel. So you get like 4 minutes of content and then you go to 8 minutes of commercial.
Yeah. 3.5 hours to watch the movie.
Yeah. Oh, Amy, it was like 4 or 5 hours and I got sucked into the second Indiana Jones. And here's why I'm regretful. I own the movies. I could be watching them for free without the commercials, but because I sat there and watched.
I know.
I wasted a whole night.
You could have watched multiple movies. Yeah.
No commercials.
I don't know why. Don't you think it's a little bit more fun, though, just knowing that it's on?
Yeah.
I think that's why we keep it
on.
But
I know all about Medicaid Part D now if you need. And if you need anything to help with your hearing.
Okay.
And you don't want to go to one of the big box retailers, but you want to do it online. I know all about it.
Excellent.
Uh-huh.
We've got a regret from a 402. What is 402? From
Memphis?
A 402. Says, I regret having to listen to Tom Brady as an announcer.
Ooh.
He is bad.
Tom Brady needs to eat a cheeseburger. Was I the only person yesterday that thought he looked like Skeletor?
You were not, and I know it is not popular. People are like, don't comment on people's weight. I get it. It's just that he looked a little gaunt, and it was a little shocking, so much so that even my brother, who is like, you know, he watches sports, and he's like, whatever, you know, he's not picking on people, and he goes, wow, Tom Brady looks very gaunt and thin.
His eyes were sunken in, his chin bone, which, you know, come on, if your chin bone's coming through...
I know. You know. I don't know if it's because...
You already got a great-looking chin, dude. You don't need to...
I don't know if it's...
Emasculate.
Stress.
What do they call that when you...
Emaciated?
Emaciate yourself.
I don't know if it's stress or if it's just... I know he's really into being healthy. Like, you know, he doesn't eat nightshades.
He didn't look healthy.
Yeah, I just... I don't know. I think eat... You know, I don't know. Just don't be gaunt. Okay. We also have a 636.
Mm-hmm.
I regret drinking that entire case of beer after my Chiefs got smashed.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Now, is it case 12 or 24?
Entire case of beer.
By the way, that you should be regretful even after five or six of them there. a case of beer after they lost?
That's called medicating. You're drinking after a loss.
But how does that person even answer the bell to be able to competently send a text to us this morning?
A case of beer is 24 bottles. Or cans, I should say.
My friend, that is regretful.
That's a lot.
We've got a voice message regret.
All right.
This is from Mike.
Still regretting I never got that date with Amy 2 years ago. Ah, come on, Amy. Shoot.
Oh.
Do you know Mike?
No.
I don't know Mike either.
I don't know Mike. Well, that's why he regrets it.
Okay.
Well, I'll take it as a compliment.
He was asking you out on a date?
Well, I guess, I think he's saying hypothetically, maybe.
Huh.
Yeah, that's a compliment.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, for you.
For me, yeah.
Yeah, but
absolutely.
He's regretting it. I wonder if he talks to us.
Here's a 618. No regrets here. That can't be true.
Well, it is. Maybe they live in Belvegas. And, you know, if you're in Belvegas, there's nothing to be regretting.
I've never heard of Belvegas.
You've never heard of Belvegas?
No.
Oh, you need to spend a night out in Belleville, man. Oh, so they all call it Belvegas?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, Belvegas. No regrets there. This 314 says, I regret watching the entire halftime show. I could not understand anything he said, and the captions couldn't keep up with the lyrics. I say, good on you for trying to read the captions and keep up. I think, like you said, you have to know Kendrick Lamar, and then you get it. And we're not cool enough. We're not young enough. I'm not hip. No one ever accused me of being hip or young, and I was on the outside looking in.
Well, I'm going to assume that person had hearing that had captions on, but who has captions on for Super Bowl game? Like, it would not be necessary, right?
Maybe
they're just like me. They don't know how to turn them off.
Well, there is that.
I regret that I don't know how to turn the captions off.
I like the captions.
Did I ever tell you that?
I think I'm losing my hearing. I am too. I, like, can't understand sitcoms.
There's a setting on Netflix now that if you accidentally turn it on, they describe what's visually happening on the show. And so, like, if you started at the beginning, when the Netflix goes boom, it would go a loud noise with a red end. But I was watching a show one night where it was describing to me, she's wearing a three buckle, you know, shoe on. What is going on?
Was that a pilgrim?
And then I finally learned how to turn it off. turn off the setting.
I haven't heard that setting before. I haven't accidentally gotten to that setting.
I bet your Netflix will do it to you now.
Yeah. I don't know if I have.
It's like the overly descriptive closed captions.
Yeah.
Okay, we do have from a 618. This was Mike, the voice message. He said the regret was when he texted into the show to ask me on a date.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah.
He must have asked you and you maybe weren't interested.
What does this mean? This is from a 636.
Moving on.
Don't try with Goose Island IPA 9.9% ABV. Isn't Goose Island vodka?
No, it's a beer.
Oh.
You're thinking of Grey Goose or...
Yeah, maybe.
Oh.
Don't try that Goose Island IPA.
Because it's a 9% alcohol.
That's what he regrets. Sorry, I get it. Sometimes the way our texts come in are a little weird. I apologize. It's the system. So if this person from a 636 regrets trying Goose Island IPA 9.9% ABV.
Yeah, you got to be careful. I had a Boulevard.
That's high.
The Boulevard has a Tank 7. It's a pretty good beer, but it's one of those that's like 10 or 11%.
Yeah.
And you drink two of them not knowing that it's got a 10 or 11%. You're
So that will mess you up. We've done that on one of my hiking trips. You're at 12,000 feet, and everyone's got all these microbreweries. Yeah, these microbreweries, and you get a beer, and you're drinking it, and you're like, wow, this... what am I drinking? And that happened to my friend Noah, where she was drinking a beer and she's like, this is not regular beer. And it was like 11%.
Gosh.
And if you're at elevation,
that's
she's like
wine.
Yeah. She's like, well, I guess this is what I'm having because it's not like you're drinking a Bud Light, which someone said Bud Light is what you drink to sober up.
Well, you drink beer at a different pace than you drink wine and alcohol. So you wind up consuming more. So when they sneak it by you with 10 or 11%. They're going to sneak up on you.
From a 314. This 314 regrets eating nearly 4 cups of buffalo chicken dip last night. It was really good, homemade with chopped up green onion. But yeah, I regret the volume.
Well, the buffalo chicken dip, it was at my dinner last night. And it was fabulously prepared. But I don't know. There's just too much food. That's what happened at my party last night.
Yeah.
There was too much food. So this morning as I was, you know, reminiscing on it or cleaning up the remainders of it, I'm throwing away a lot of old food.
Yeah. Yeah.
Including some buffalo chicken that was fabulous
why
at my
weren't,
place.
Why weren't people eating more? I feel like we really cleaned house.
I think we were just watching. There's only four of us. So we were only watching, you know, I regret that all the food that got spoiled at my party. I'm good at this regret stuff.
618. I regret that I missed Hancock and Kelly Friday morning because I slept too late.
We have our own podcast. You can go to the Hancock and Kelly Show.
Yeah.
And you only have to listen to a couple of commercials.
Oh, that's it.
Less commercials.
Oh, there
Don't
you
tell
go.
Anybody that. Listen to us live. Better commercials.
Follow up with the Goose Island IPA 9.9% ABV. It was saying don't try it. She meant, don't drink a case of it.
No.
They were saying it's okay to try, but their text was referring to drinking a case of beer. Uh-huh. Don't drink a case of an IPA with a 9.9% ABV.
Yeah, I got that where she was going with it. Because you probably would wind up in the hospital.
Yeah, I would think so.
That's too much alcohol.
Matthew?
Yes.
Do you have any regrets that you would like to confess on air?
Yeah, so I went to a Super Bowl party with my family, and I loaded up on food like everybody else did, but I loaded up on the wrong food, like the little meats and cheeses that are laid out. Those are like the starters.
Yeah.
Once people show up, they bring in the good stuff, you know, the chicken wings and the, toasted ravs and meatballs, things like that. I loaded up on the wimpy starter stuff, and I got too full, and I couldn't dive into the good stuff.
Couldn't eat the good
and
stuff.
I just sat on the couch in like a comatose state, just so
rookie
full.
Move.
Just can't even move.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Need to pace myself better.
That's the equivalent of filling up on bread.
Yeah.
Before like a Thanksgiving meal, you don't get the good stuff because you filled
right.
up on bread.
And
I'm
meats
sorry.
And cheeses and assorted things like that. I should have saved it for the good stuff.
I do like meat and cheese though.
Yeah.
Like a good charcuterie.
You like charcuterie?
Mm-hmm. I do. Yeah. I could live on it really.
But that's the problem with a Super Bowl party is you're going to cook something big, but there's lots of little snacks, like you said, Matt, and you regret that you get full of all that stuff. I regret that I ate all those pretzels and got to share them with my guests.
Thank you for participating in our Monday Regrets. Good stuff from the listeners. Thank you, Michael Kelly. And hey, don't forget, later on in the hour, we will chat with Dana Hughes, Kansas City Chiefs radio analyst.
And we're giving away Doobie Brothers tickets at some point,
right? What if we did it now?
What?
What?
Huh?
What if we said be the seventh caller to the contest line, 314-955-1120, 314-955-1120, be the seventh caller. Good luck! Listen, I don't want to do this, but I think we have to.
What's that?
There was a commercial yesterday that I think we all noticed.
Mm-hmm.
And for lack of a better term, it was just very booby. It was to raise awareness for breast cancer, which is good that we're raising awareness for that. However, it was quite a bit. It was distracting, no matter who you are. Now, sometimes, and I'm not trying to be vulgar here, sometimes boobs are kind of distracting anyway.
Yes.
But it was like, it felt, listen, I get they were trying to get your point, get people's attention, which they did. But there was something about the zooming in on it where it was just very objectifying. Even like, it's like women get breast cancer. It's not just boobs getting breast cancer.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I felt like it objectified, and I get like, well, we're trying to be, you know, we're trying to get people's attention.
Well, it got everybody's attention.
Yeah, but I think half the people were like drooling over themselves and didn't know what it was for afterwards.
This is where you're wrong. Because I have a unique opinion as it relates to breasts.
What do you mean you have a unique opinion?
I believe breasts are like fireworks. They come in all sizes, they come in all shapes, they come in all colors. But if we were out in public right now and all of a sudden fireworks went off, what happens?
Everybody looks.
Everybody looks.
Even
it
if you
doesn't
don't like
matter
fireworks.
Who you are, you look for fireworks.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, if I yelled, "Oh my gosh, look out that window, that woman's got her top off."
Yeah.
I don't care if you're 90 years old, you're a nun, you're a businessman, everybody's looking at boobs. They grab everybody's attention.
I will say.
They're like fireworks.
He's not wrong.
I'm exactly right.
And it doesn't mean necessarily, like, not even from.
You don't even have to like them.
Right.
But you're going to look.
That's my point, is because I have gone out before where, like, I'm at a restaurant or at a bar, and sometimes there's a very, very, very well-endowed lady.
Right.
And I'm kind of like, wow, but for me, it's more like, wow, that's distracting.
It's got to hurt your back.
And I'm like, I wonder what do you do all the time? Do you, you know, like that's going to take a lot of support. It's just, they're just distracting, especially when they're out, when they're displayed, which fine, hey, more power to you. It's just, you're right. They are like fireworks.
You can't help but look. I don't know. It's like fireworks. Why isn't when fireworks go off, everybody looks up?
I know.
Even if it's just like a little, bottle rocket just going up.
From another standpoint, though, again, like, whatever, I'm a girl, right? You see it, you're like, okay, that's kind of obnoxious. Like I said, my first thought was, again, women get breast cancer, not just boobs, right? There are women, their mothers and sisters and friends and aunts, and I felt like it kind of objectified the whole thing. It wasn't, to me, the most effective messaging. But what about watching it, these commercials with your family or, like, your grandpa?
Yeah, I was watching mine with people, and my thought immediately was like, wait a minute, did I change the channel? Because there's kids watching this.
Right.
Like, and it was not only pictures of boobs. It was somewhat sexual.
100% sexualized.
Yeah, somewhat sexual, which I think was the problem. Now, fortunately, I'm at an age that I wasn't sitting there with my parents, but I would have been uncomfortable as could be.
I had grandparents in the room.
You had your grandparents neighbors. There?
Oh, yeah, everybody. It was family.
Isn't it
family
weird that you and your grandpa are looking at the same set of fireworks?
Thinking the same thing. Thinking the same thing. It brings
somebody
together generations of people. Fireworks. Anybody can appreciate them.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, they're part of life.
I mean, they are. And an like I said, part. it is distracting. So I will say the fact that they're like fireworks is a really funny and apt analogy because it doesn't matter what you're attracted to, not you're attracted to, male, female. It's just distracting. And like if someone's very well endowed and just talking
shooting
to you.
Shooting fireworks is, off, you yeah, can't help but be distracted.
Yes. But it is weird, especially with, you know, younger kids and like 11 and 12-year-old boys. And you're like, all right, well.
But to your point earlier about the Super Bowl performance, first time everybody having pants on, there have been Super Bowl performances where folks are running around for 15 minutes with that little of clothing on top
of. Well, remember the Jennifer.
Janet Jackson.
Well, but then the Jennifer Lopez Shakira where they were like on stripper poles and they were dancing. That was just as awkward.
But I'll tell you what, it was an effective ad, and then it ended with that comedian, I forget who it was.
Wanda Sykes.
Yeah, making the point, and everybody went, ah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Check for breast cancer. Look at the fireworks.
I thought there were too many fireworks, a little up close and personal, but that's just my taste. Hey, next, we're going to chat with Dane and Hughes.
Oh, my.
Kansas
can you imagine
City
this guy's
Chiefs
night?
Radio Jeez. Analyst. I don't know. I look forward to getting his thoughts on last night's game. I know it was a disappointment, but we shall see. Dane Hughes joins Michael Kelly and me on the Chris and Amy Show next.
For the second time, the Vince Lombardi Trophy is headed to Philadelphia. Eagles fly in Super Bowl 59.
The final call of last night's Super Bowl, courtesy of Fox. And, well, somebody had to win, somebody had to lose. That's the nature of sports. And graciously joining us now, as he does each week, is Dane Hughes. He is the Kansas City Chiefs radio analyst and, of course, a former wide receiver himself. Dane, first, thank you for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me. I know we played bad, but I didn't know that Chris was just going to just leave us just because we played a bad game. What the heck is going on?
I know.
Hit in the mouth, Amy. We got hit in the mouth. We got hit in the ear. We got our ear bit. We got our eye hit. We got everything hit.
Okay, Dane, it's so true. I actually thought, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is what it feels like to get hit in the mouth. Let's jump in. Why? I've never, you know, we haven't been on this side of things for a while. what happened? I mean, other than I know the Eagles, I mean, all credit to the Eagles, right? A great team. But what happened to the Chiefs?
Yeah, I just think that we were out of sorts and didn't get back in line. We didn't have, there wasn't anything that happened the beginning of the game, second quarter, coming out after halftime, and by that time it was pretty much over, that kind of jolted us. I feel like there are times in football, and I've been around this game for a long time, where it's like, you know, you're watching a ER or Grey's Anatomy, and there's a patient dying on the table, and they get the paddles out and they say clear, and they jolt them back to life. And I felt like in the game of football especially, there always seems to be that time, whether it's a turnover or a big return or a big play or something, a big hit, that just jolts the entire team back to life. And even with the interception by Brian Cook, that didn't seem to do it. And you thought, okay, well, now here we are. We made them make a mistake. We got a turnover. But then he falls down out of bounds, and I'm not blaming him, but he falls down out of bounds at the 2-yard line, and I couldn't even get excited about it, and I'm calling the game because I'm like, oh, my gosh, now, like, it's great that we got a turnover, but all interceptions aren't created the same, and now we're our backs to the goal line, and now if we're going to put something together, we got to go 98 yards to do it against this defense. Like, it might have been better off if they had kicked the field goal and then just kicked it off to us as opposed to a turnover. So it was just like that kind of factor, that kind of dynamic that just never seemed like everything was latching together, offense, defense, special teams. And again, you give the Philadelphia Eagles incredible credit for what they were able to do. They were the better team yesterday in all three phases, and there was nothing that we could do about it. And it was unfortunate because, as you guys heard me say in previous weeks, we were going for history, and they were the team that was trying to steal it from us. And we had the opportunity to make history, which doesn't happen very much in NFL. Doesn't happen for teams in the NFL very often, and we fell short.
Danan, I know when you're, you know, a fan of the team, you're calling the games, you always are holding out hope that the team can come back. But I imagine at some point, maybe early on, you felt kind of a sinking feeling that something was off. When did you feel that, if at all?
Yeah, I'd say when it got to 24-0.
Yeah.
And I know, you know, we were mentioning it during the broadcast that, you know, when we played the Houston Texans in the playoffs and we were down 24-0 in the first quarter, and then we had time, we came back, obviously, and we were winning by halftime. The difference in that game was that it was the first quarter, and we were at home. And then we had those plays that were like the paddles that jolted us back to life in that game. And the next thing you know, if anybody turned away from the TV and they came back, we were up 31-24. And it was new life. This game, it was 24-0. It was, I believe, middle of the second quarter, maybe close to halftime. And you felt like, wow, like 17-0. If something happened, happened positive, you thought, okay, now we get the ball coming out. We won the coin toss, so we get the ball to start the second half. If we would have got just one touchdown early, you thought, okay, 17-7, hold them. We go into halftime. We come out, we score, and now we got a ball game. And it's a whole different story. Once it got to 24 and it was getting late into that first half, I thought, man, this is not gonna bode well. And we just didn't seem like we were in sync enough to be able to overcome it.
Yeah. You know, before the game, it was Kurt Warner was talking about Patrick Mahomes and how he has this ability, an insane ability to make the right play in the moment. But it felt like Patrick Mahomes was always kind of scrambling and running out of time last night. He didn't even really look like himself, or at least what we're used to seeing.
Yeah, I'd say there was definitely remnants of what we saw against Tampa Bay Buccaneers in that Super Bowl during the COVID year, where he was seemed like he was running for his life. But I will say this, and I know he'll say it about himself, and that's the one thing about being a professional athlete, especially on the NFL level. No other sport studies film, studies all the intricacies of the game like an NFL player. We spend more time in the film room than we do on the practice field most times. So we study everything about our game, about the opponent's tendencies, you know, their blitzes, their plays, all of that stuff. And if Patrick Mahomes is watching that film, he'd be able to tell you that he caused some of those pressures himself, not so much the offensive line. And that may be weird to hear as a listener that's out there that, well, it looked like Patrick was running for his life. He didn't have time. There's ways to buy time as a quarterback and ways to avoid pressure. And then there are ways where you run into pressure. And offensive linemen hate it when quarterbacks run into pressure because, one, it makes them look bad. It makes them look like they didn't do their job. When, in essence, if you go back and watch that, watch several of those plays, if he would have just backpedaled a little bit, if he would have just stayed still, he might have bought himself a little bit more time. Now, I'm not saying that he wouldn't have got hit and they wouldn't have had any sacks, but there were several times where he tried to step up into the pocket and he got hit. And had he not tried to step up into the pocket, he probably wouldn't have gotten hit. Had he not tried to exit the pocket and use his legs, he might have had an opportunity for a receiver to get open down the field. And those are learning experiences that Patrick was talking about in the post-game interviews about being better. The throws, the interception, the pick six, the other interception, those are obvious. But when he's talking about being better, I guarantee you he's talking about not hanging his offensive linemen out to dry on several of those pressures from the Philadelphia Eagles.
You know, Dana, it's so crazy to think that Patrick Mahomes isn't even 30 yet. And so when we look at this team and we're talking about it as a dynasty or is it one of the greatest teams ever, that it's not past tense. Like, this window is still open, don't you think so?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Tom Brady went 10 years between Super Bowl wins. And who knows? I don't know if Patrick has desires to play until he's in his 40s like Tom Brady. He's going to be able to keep his body in perfect shape like Tom and have the diet and all that stuff to do it and then obviously be able to stay healthy. But the greatest of all time went 10 years between Super Bowl wins. That's to tell us that the window is definitely not closed. And by all accounts, it seems like they were down. There wasn't very much talking going on. We didn't get very many post-game interviews. Everybody was down and sad and tears were flowing, et cetera. But I didn't hear of anybody saying they were ready to be done. I didn't hear of anybody saying this was their last game as a Chief. Now, there's going to be attrition. There are going to be changes. That's what happens in the NFL every single year. Think about it. We played the Philadelphia Eagles two Super Bowls ago, and we only had 15 players on the team from that game, 15 starters. So that tells you that there's going to be turnover in this game. It's just a matter of how these guys use this experience to push them through the offseason and want to change the narrative about being a flash-in-the-pan type of team that maybe some people think got lucky over these last two Super Bowl wins.
Dana, going to the Super Bowl for the Kansas City Chiefs kind of had to feel a little bit like old hat. And a lot doesn't necessarily translate on television. I think of those first couple of Super Bowl wins, I felt like the environment was pro-Kansas City. Yesterday, watching on television, that felt like it could have been somewhat like a home field advantage for Philadelphia. Was that the case? Was that the vibe you were feeling before the game started?
Absolutely. Philadelphia Eagles fans, they came out, they showed up and showed out. And I give them credit because I didn't think that was going to be the case. I knew they would come out strong, but I didn't think they would come out as strong as they did because I felt like, you know, New Orleans, although it's a ways away, it's driving distance. A lot of people, a lot of Chiefs fans that I met drove down. I thought it was a little bit far for a drive from Philadelphia. So I thought we had that aspect in our pocket where we'd have a few more fans. But I get it. It's an expensive week. It's an expensive weekend. And to tap into that five of the last 6 years, that's tough for a lot of Chiefs fans. So by no means would I blame them. If I wasn't doing the broadcast, trust me, guys, I probably wouldn't have gone each of these. But the fact remains is that the Philadelphia Eagles, they were more desperate. They had an extra chip on their shoulder. You heard them in the post game where they talked about they were hearing all about the three-peat. They were hearing about being the better football team. They saw everything on ESPN and on Fox Sports about the Chiefs winning. I remember watching on Friday morning where everyone on Get Up on ESPN picked the Chiefs. I know several people on Fox picked the Chiefs. So that incentive, and remember, this team had won 10 straight games. They weren't a pushover. They weren't lucky to get here. They just weren't the number one seed in the NFC like we were. They were a really good football team, and they showed it.
Dana, this isn't really a football question, but I didn't realize until last week that yesterday was the first time that a sitting U.S. president was at the Super Bowl. From a security standpoint or getting around, and I know you're a broadcaster, so it's a bit different for you, but did you notice any security difference in New Orleans compared to the previous Super Bowls?
I will tell you this, and it had nothing to do with the president coming. During the week, it was like Fort Knox. everywhere, not just around the team hotels, but around the city of New Orleans. There were Army National Guard, you know, guys with rifles, and, you know, there are ladies and men coming from different parishes, different cities that were serving to secure the area. It was well lit. It was clean. Everything that you hear negatively about New Orleans, about safety and homelessness and people on the streets and being careful, you did not have any worries at all walking through New Orleans. Now, as far as the game was concerned, I get there so early before the game because we did a four-hour pregame show. And so I couldn't tell you about the security with the president coming and so on. So to me, it was just the football. It was normal hat for a Super Bowl. But I think there were some concerns about New Orleans that were quashed from Monday through this morning. Heck, this morning I had trouble getting an Uber still through the security, and the game was over and fans were leaving. So they did a great job.
Well, okay, last thing for you. I know Andy Reid said after the game yesterday that the Chiefs will learn from this. And I guess they've been to three Super Bowls in a row and have had a lot of success. What do you think they learned or will learn from this because they've been so successful?
So the old adage that I was taught when I played with the Chiefs and actually earlier even into my college days is that you never stay the same. You either get better or you get worse every single day. And that's kind of got to be the mindset of a professional athlete in order to wake yourself up in the morning and in order to do what you need to do to be a better teammate, to be a professional. Let's face it, these young guys make a lot of money. And if you don't have a mindset of always trying to get better, and if you're not getting better, somebody else is getting better to take your job, and by default, you're getting worse. That's what Andy Reid is talking about. So you shouldn't be surprised that maybe within the next week, within the next 2 weeks, you're going to see guys on Instagram, on Snapchat, videoing their workouts. They're already back to work getting ready for the 2025 season. They're not going to just jump on a plane to Cancun or somewhere and spend a month away from it. This stings. It sits in your gut for a long time, and these guys are going to be propelled by this feeling, and that's what the coaches want. They want to see at times in adversity, what are you going to do? Are you going to show up? Are you going to get better? Are you going to be fighting? There's some question marks on the team. Guys like Wanye Morris, Kingsley Suamataia, two guys that were counted on as offensive tackles that kind of wet the bed this season. What are you guys going to do to get better, to secure the job for yourself and not necessarily put us in a position where we have to move Joe Tooney out from being a Pro Bowl guard to play tackle so he can save our postseason lives? What are the other guys going to do? Jalen Watson coming back from injury but got beat twice on two big plays in the Super Bowl. What are you going to do to get better so that we don't have to look for a corner in the draft or somebody to take your position? The running game. What did these guys? Juwan Taylor at the offensive tackle. A lot of questions. Travis Kelce didn't play his best game. What are you going to do this offseason to get better so that we don't have this sting and this sour feeling in our stomach? So there's a lot to go around this organization, not just the players, but the coaches as well. And that's what Andy Reid is talking about.
Well, Danan, I know it stings, but it was a heck of a season, and we had so much fun having you join us every week. This is our last time until next season, so we just wanted to thank you so much for all of the time, all of the conversations. You're awesome, and we can't wait to talk again next season.
Looking forward to it as well. It's been an awesome season talking with you guys. We've had a lot of fun, a lot of laughter, and I look forward to it next season. So thank y'all for having me. I'm glad we hit more people in the mouth than we got hit. And we'll look forward to doing some more damage this next season coming up.
Awesome. Looking forward to it. Thank you so much. Danan Hughes, Kansas City Chiefs radio analyst and former wide receiver. He's Michael Kelly. I'm Amy Mark Scores. It's the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX. Well, you're never going to believe it, but we have a winner in our Doobie Brothers ticket giveaway, and that winner is Joni from O'Fallon. And we don't know if it's Mo Fallon or O'Fallon, Illinois, but it is O'Fallon. Joni, congratulations. You will go see the Doobie Brothers on September 4th at Hollywood Casino Amphitheater. You need to keep listening. We'll be giving away Doobie Brothers tickets all week. They don't sing the song. Doobie doobie doo.
No.
Do you,
or maybe this was just me, but when I was a kid, used to think the Doobie Brothers was such like a, ooh, it's such a dirty thing, the Doobie Brothers. Yeah, because they were, you know, oh, what are they up to?
See,
smoking
I always thought
the Doobie.
I didn't even know that because I think I didn't know what a Doobie was. So I thought it was like Bill and Bob Doobie.
Ah.
I thought they were like the Smith
brothers.
Oh, you
think they were like Kelly brothers, Doobie brothers.
Yes. Like the Hoffman brothers, heating and cooling or whatever. I thought they were like, well, there's Michael Doobie and Bob Doobie. They are the Doobie brothers. Hey, Michael Kelly, speaking of Michael, will be joining me tomorrow again. Chris Ranji is out gallivanting. We're going to stick around for the Dave Glover Show, which is next.